The question I would like to ask you tonight is, do we desire as Christians in America today, do we desire as Christians, and I'm talking real Christians, I'm not talking about the Christians that we have in this world today that are taking the name Christian but are truly not Christian. Matter of fact, they live life almost anti-Christian more than they live Christian. Are we willing, or do we have a desire in this day and age to actually have the old-time revival, have the old-time preaching? Do we have a desire in this world today to have the old ways, the old paths, ignoring the emerging church issue, ignoring all these things? Are we willing in this day and age to serve God on God's terms? That's a good question, isn't it? The reason that we are having very little outward success, as they would like to say success, I think the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church is going strong. As long as God is on our side, who can be against us? Amen. But let me deal a little bit with us individually. What happens is, and this is a good crowd for this, Wednesday night crowd usually are your people that are your professional Christians. They are the people that have been Christians for a while. They are people that know the lingo. They know what to say and what to do. They know how to get out of doing things, or they know how to get themselves into things and not get caught. They know how they can act bad while they're out in the public and not get caught by their peers and that kind of thing. But let me help you out a little bit. The Lord goes with you wherever you go. It wasn't always this way. I would just about bet that every person in this room upon their salvation loved God immeasurably. This is all foundation, by the way. I got to believe that everybody, when they got saved, they realized, Brother Rod, what they were being forgiven of. What they were getting for free. What life they were drawn out of. It's amazing, Brother Kativer, how quickly that we can decide that we are close enough to God now, we don't need to get any closer. It is amazing how quickly we are willing to settle for the status quo. I want you to see something here in Job. Job was not settling for the status quo, but I want you to see this verse. In Job chapter 29, verse 1 and 2, I'll let you think about this as we stand. Let's read the Word of God standing. Let you stretch your legs one more time. I won't be long tonight. I just want to give you a thought. In Job chapter 29, the Bible says, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out waters of rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street." Let's have a word of prayer tonight and we'll get into the preaching. Brother Mike Sells, could you lead us in prayer, please? You may be seated. The one thing that a person thinks of when they think of Job is, good Lord have mercy, how he had patience. The patience of Job, that's the first thing that you hear. Understand this, Job was one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest men in the East. Job was a person that had 10 children. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. Very close family. They had dinner together often. They met together. They prayed together. Job decided that he was going to sacrifice for his children because he was worried that maybe his sons would have committed sins that he was not aware of. He was a person that loved God. Let me say that again. He was a person that loved God. I dare say that Job didn't care what everyone else thought about how he loved God. You ever think about that for a minute? It's a lot of times convenient when we love God. No amens. Boy, aren't you glad you came tonight. It's often interesting when it's convenient when we love God and when we don't love God. Now, I'm saying this because sometimes the way we act, and I'm including myself in this, I always include myself in my preaching. I am never, matter of fact, I'm beneath the vast majority of you spiritually. But I'm going to be honest with you, there's times when each one of us in this room decide that it's not convenient to love God right now. It's not convenient to care about God. It's not convenient when you're in the restaurant surrounded by people to pray. And I'm not talking about these folks that stand up on their chair in the middle of the restaurant. Let's pray for our food, children. That's probably the only prayer they utter ever all week. I'm talking about the people who, no matter where they're at, they pray before they eat. Doesn't matter what they're doing, no matter where they're at. We're going to take time to pray. It's convenient when you're at work in the workplace. And I'm not saying to stop what you're doing and just go ahead and just go off and witness to people and read your Bible and street preach in a million workplace. I think you ought to work when you're at work. I think you ought to be the best employee that they have. I think when they think about you, they should think about them being a worker. That's what I think. I think you should do as unto your worker as you do unto the Lord. I think you should do the best you possibly can. And when that time comes to be able to witness to somebody, I think you ought to take control of that time and do it. I heard a story one time, a fella told a preacher, hey, my job fired me because I'm a member of your church. What they didn't know is the pastor knew the manager. The pastor called the manager, said, hey, did you fire this fella? He said, you fired him for going to the church. Yeah, I fired him, but I didn't even know he went to your church. I didn't even know he was a Christian. See, in your workplace, you ought to be known as a Christian. You ought to be known as a Christian. And I'm going to be real honest with you. I've seen many people throughout the 16 years of ministry that I've had that will act this way for a while, and then for a while they get so close to God in their minds that they realize that, you know what, I don't need to be close anymore. They lose their excitement. They lose their enthusiasm. I want you to see a few of these verses. You understand something? Job had 10 children. He had many animals, livestock, wealthy, godly, close family, healthy. All this was taken away. In two chapters, taken away, his health gone. He's sitting in a pile. You've heard this story a million times. Sitting in a pile of ashes with a potsherd, scraping boils in so much pain just to try to get some relief. He was a healthy man, revered, looked up to. God wasn't punishing him. But look at what he says. Oh, that I were as in months past. As in the days when God preserved me. How many of you in your heart right now said, oh, that I were as in months past. Oh, that I were when I loved God. Oh, this is good preaching. Oh, that I were back in the day when I led people to Christ. Oh, that I were back in the day when I listened to the choir sing a song and my heart was moved. Oh, that I were as in months past when I loved to hear my preacher preach. That's good preaching. I'm going to sign my own Bible tonight. Let me explain something to you. When your pastor gets up and he delivers a message, let me explain something to you. He's got a calling from God to you. That message comes from his heart because God has prepared his people to hear a message from him. But it's amazing to me how many times I hear about people talking, I can't wait to go hear some other preacher preach. Oh, that I were as in months past when my pastor was the man of God. Oh, that I were as in months past when I never missed a service. Oh, that I were as in months past. Look at what this says now. Oh, man, I wouldn't, that it was in months past when I stood behind my youth leader. Oh, that I were as in months past when I put money in the plate. Oh, see, right to money. If the Lord has this, he'll have your money. If the Lord has your heart, how dare you think that God didn't give you what you've got? Oh, that I were. That it was in months past, in the days when God preserved me. When who preserved me? Well, who, Brother Mike? Who took you through all those times? Who took you through all those times when you were drinking? Who took you through all those times when you was fighting? Who took you through all those times when you were unemployed? Who took you through all those times when God preserved me? When God preserved me? Oh, that I were that in months past when I realized who took care of me. We got every answer today. Every answer. We got it. Oh, I'm just going to try these seven things, and at the end I'll try God. Oh, that I were in months past, Brother Cotiver, when God was my first thought, not my last thought. Well, I can't take care of it on my own, bless God. I'll call in the Calvary. That was good, call in the Calvary. I have to write that down on my paper. Oh, that I were, that it was months past when I realized who took care of me. Now, maybe you're not in this boat. Maybe you are arrived. Maybe you have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I know a place where I can get them all. Brother Mark alluded to it earlier. We've got a whole textbook full of answers. This book, by the way, is alive. I'll say that again. This book, by the way, is alive. This book preaches to me. This book changes me. I don't change this book. And I'm going to tell you right now, a lot better preachers throughout the years have held on to this book and been successes in God's eyes. I just say us young whippersnappers ought to just hold on to this book right on to the end. No matter what happens, we're going to hold on to the old manual called the King James Bible, 1611. Oh, that I were, that it was months past when we didn't have this argument. But no matter what, hey, listen, you got to understand this. This is not an argument for me, Brother Rod. This isn't an argument for me. Oh, I got a lot of people this is an argument with. This ain't no argument with me. This has been settled. Amen. This has been settled. This decision's over with. This decision's been done. Oh, that I were that a month's past and I had friends that still stuck with me in the book. Whether the friends stick with me or not with the book, I'm sticking with the book. Yeah. Well, maybe they ought to get right as in months past. I'm not right about a lot, but I'm right about this. Oh, that I were that I was in months past. When his candle shined upon my head and when by his light I walked through darkness. When is the last time you let God light your path? When, oh man, I would to God it was in months past when I was just getting saved and I was just part of the church and I started to walk in, I realized this is where I was supposed to be. I got to be honest with you. I could give you a dozen people right off the top of my head that when they came here, they knew this was the place God brought them to. And when they left the doors, they left. God stayed. I'm not saying that there's not another church that you can go to. But they're going to look around and they're going to look around. Brother Rod, guess what? The place that they're looking for is right here. Oh, that I were those months past when I came to church and knew it was my home. Let me explain something to you. This is always your home. Right here. This is your home. Don't you go off thinking, well, Brother Dave, he's got a green shirt on tonight, and I just don't like green. Because I don't like green, I just don't think I can stay in this church anymore. Don't stay for Brother Dave's shirt. Stay for God that brought you. Who brought you here? That's what you got to ask yourself. Did you come here because we were so dynamic and exciting? I don't think so. Did they come because the singing's so good? We got some good singers, but I got to be honest with you. I would rather be called by the preaching than the singing any day. It's not about that. It's about that God was here. And when you came here, you realized that God was here. When you came here, you realized this is where I wanted to be because this is where God was. I got news for you, Christian. God is still here. Where are you? Oh, that I were, that it was in months past when his candle shined upon my head and when by his light I walked through darkness. As I was in the days of my youth when the secret of God was upon my tab. Where do you think you're going to find the secrets of God at? Oh, that I were, that it was in, as in months past, when I read my Bible. I would ask you, how many read your Bible today? I'm not talking about just now. That's a freebie. When's the last time you opened? You got to understand something. We preach this. We sweat over this. I talk about this a lot, don't I? It's, it probably gets boring after a while, doesn't it? But I got to be honest with you. I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited that God gave us this through a promise. Everything we are rises and falls on this. I'm the Lord. I change not. I cannot lie. Do you realize that those two promises are contained herein? He cannot lie. He can't even assimilate a lie. That lets me know that I, when I called upon him, that he saved me. Because he cannot lie. All that we know. Oh, that I were as it was in months past when I believed that. It's amazing how quickly. And you know what's funny? I don't see a lot of new Christians swayed on this. It's not the new Christians that get into the battle. It's the professional Christians that get into that battle. It's a well, I've been around a long time now.
I have studied many of the archives, Brother Ballard. I've got to be honest with you. Let me pontificate for a while.
They always have to have a 6 or 8 syllable word in there somewhere. They just looked it up 3 hours before you had the conversation.
Because I know all these things, you ought to listen to me because I truly am an intellect.
No. No, you're an idiot. Idiot. 3 syllables. God gave us truth. When in the world did we become so smart that we don't believe it anymore? Because that's, do you know why we have this battle? Because people stop believing it. People stop believing the book. They stopped realizing what God can do in their lives. I'm not talking about this charismatic, spooky feeling stuff that you get when you get all fuzzy-wuzzy and electronic guitars and the drum sets and the girls in scantily clad clothing come up here and they start to sing and start to do things. I'm glad we don't go to a church like that. I'm glad it doesn't get crazy in here. I'm glad. Listen, I've gotten some websites to come in and these preachers are showing me what these crazy people are going to. Churches like the one that Tory and churches like the one that G.B. Vick used to preach and made huge are now having rock concerts. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad that I go to a silver-haired church, that we're going to have piano and we're going to have godly singing. We're going to have people that care about God, a music director that cares about good, godly music. I'm not talking about the craziness. I'm talking about real. I'm glad that it's going to be as it was in months past right here at Bethel Baptist Church.
You ought to be thankful too. Don't you come in here and get bored with the service.
Oh, it's just so dull in here. I would to God we do something great like have a rock concert, gospel sing. They call it gospel. They call it gospel sings. There's no God involved. Oh, God's in the song, the word. But I don't know whose God they're talking about. Because my God wouldn't be involved in that.
It was hilarious. I looked at this one. Dr. Gray sent me. He's so ornery. He sent me this website, and he said, "Go, you need to go look at this. This is an altar call."
This girl got up, and it looked like a rock concert. I'm not kidding. The lights were flashing, red lights zooming in and out like this, and I said, "There ain't no way this is a church." And she starts singing this song. As she sings, on the screen in the back, they had to put the words on the screen. Do you know why they had to put the words on the screen? Because you couldn't understand a word she was saying. Do you know the words to Amazing Grace? Now listen, we go into the jail. Do you know they know the words to Amazing Grace? Do you know children know the words to Amazing Grace? Do you realize that that song has been around for a very, very long time? And do you know his grace is still amazing? Yeah, we are old-fashioned. Oh, that I were, that it was in months past. When God lit my way. When he preserved me.
I don't need people to preserve me. My God preserves me. You may be suffering tonight with boredom in church. You may be suffering tonight as dry eye in church. I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Rod. The older that I get, the wetter my eyes get. I watch Brother Mike every time he gets up, three words, he's gone. He says three words, he needs the box. You know, I got to be honest with you. The older I get, the more I start to see that people are dying and going to hell. People are dying and going to hell. Oh, that I were there was in months past when I would come up to this altar and I'd start to weep over lost souls. We have a not above average, we have a fantastic church. You tell me we win enough souls? I don't win enough souls. I don't win enough souls. When's the last time you told somebody about Christ? No. When's the last time you told? Oh, that I were that it was in months past when I led somebody to Christ months ago. I would to God. There's no greater joy than leading somebody to Christ. Verse 5. When the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. Job was a pretty important guy, wasn't he? He had been reduced to an ash heap. He had been reduced to an ash heap. He was saying, oh, that I were, that it was in months past, that I was the person that they were asking advice from. I was the person that they were looking to. You don't understand this. I want to, don't misread Job here. He's not saying this to you, Miss Myrtle, because he wants you to think he was somebody special. He wasn't saying this to you. Job is not saying these words to you. I wish that it were in months past because everybody looked to me, because the princes shut their mouths, because the young men would stop what they were doing and watch me. The elderly men, they respected me. He was not telling you these things because he wanted you to think he was something great. He was telling you these things because he wanted you to know that God was great. Yeah. Oh, that I were, there was in months past when people looked at a preacher and they said, that's a preacher. Yeah. You can't tell anymore. You can't tell anymore. They walk around anymore in turtlenecks on the pulpit. I'm so thankful that I was raised in a church where the preacher wears a shirt and tie and a suit to preach the word of God. Only your best will do. Glory to God. Job's telling you these things because he wants you to understand that the people respected him and looked up to him not because of who he was, but because of who his God was. Because he was a godly man. Because he was seen going to church every service. No amens there. Because he was seen walking out in the morning and getting in his chariot and one of his 800 million camels that he had, saying hi-ya in his suit and tie, carrying his Bible in his hand, I'm going to church. He wanted his servants to know he was going to church. He wanted the princes to know he was going to church. He wanted the dignitaries to know he was going to church. Why? Because he wanted them to know he had a great God. He wanted to go back into those days. And you'll see, we'll keep reading here. Don't you worry. We're almost done. He wanted to let them know, my God loves me. My God cares about me. My God's taking care of me. You know how you get all that work, Brother Mike? Because your God loves you. Do you know how he brings you through the times when you don't have any work? Because God loves you. There's never a time, if you hear just one message from Brother John Bishop, God is good all the time. This is a man literally that had everything going for him, great speaker. He was going all across the country, and the Lord gave him a disease that literally took away his eyesight, and then not only took away his eyesight, took away his entire memory. All of it. Think about this for a minute. I didn't even have this. This is good stuff. Glory to God. I'm glad I came tonight. Brother John Bishop had to learn how to chew. Did you hear me? He had to learn how to feed himself. He had to learn how to go to the bathroom. He had to learn how to speak again. Do you know what he did before this? He was a preacher that had to learn how to speak again. Oh, we've got it so hard. We've got it so difficult. And you know what the title of his ministry is? God is good all the time. Even through all these times, he says, God is good all the time. And I'm sure there was times in his life where he said, oh, that I were, that it was in months past. I'm trying to prick your heart tonight to realize that you can go back to having the joy that you used to have. That's why they call it rejoice. Joyce all over again. When's the last time you're excited about your salvation? When's the last time you were excited about what God was doing in your life? You worry so much about what's going on in the world and what other people are doing to you. And it happens. People do things. Things happen. But glory to God, you have a God in heaven that loves you today. We spend more time worrying about Obama. Who cares about that clown? It doesn't matter who's up there. It matters who's up there. Amen. We worry so much about this world and we stop coming to church because, oh, what's his fuss wore the same dress you did. How dare they? I try to tell Brother Eddie that doesn't happen that often. Verse 10, the nobles held their peace. You know why the nobles held their peace? Because the nobler one than all was with Job. Not because Job was great. Because his God was great. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Because I delivered. Listen now. What did he do with his life? Look at this now. Look, we can take a lesson right here. We've got 7 minutes. Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The richest man in the east went to the poor. The richest man in the east went to him that had none to help him. Would we do that? Would we be willing to go? Listen, there's people out there that have none to help them. There's people out, that's why we run the buses here, because there's people out there that have none to help them. There's people out there, listen, there's only one person that can help the vast majority of this world, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm talking about salvation tonight. There's only one person. That person is Jesus Christ. Are we willing to take that person? The none that can help him. Look at this. Look at what it says. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? That's leading somebody to Christ. Look at what this says. The blessing of him that was ready to perish. Who's ready to perish? Oh, it could be the person dying. But what about the person dying without Christ? That blessing came upon Job, came upon me. You know what that blessing is? Good Lord, have mercy. When's the last time you led somebody to Christ? You know what that blessing is. I watched Brother Mike Sells lead somebody to Christ while I was walking a horse. And there's old Brother Mike talking to somebody about the Lord. Had a little old New Testament open. Had his bifocals on. Kept going like this because he couldn't see real good. I'm walking the horse, coming around. Every time I come around, he starts giving me the thumbs up. I keep coming around. You getting in, Brother Mike? He put his hand up. After a while, he led that person to Christ. The smile got this big on his face. Why? Because the blessing of the person that was about to perish came upon him. Boy, this is good stuff. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. He took it with him. He couldn't put on righteousness himself. That's not what he's talking about. He took it with him. When I say that, and I'm almost done, I got three things to give you on the back of this paper, and I'm all done. He took his righteousness with him. Your righteousness is a filthy rag, so he couldn't be talking about that. What righteousness could he possibly be talking about? He took with him his Savior. When you go somewhere, what do you take with you? Do you take this righteousness? I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I'm just going to embarrass him to death. I look to Brother Carl. I don't care what you think about that. He's a gray-headed fella. I look up to him. He's one of my heroes. One of the most faithful men ever. Not that I've ever seen. Ever. When he walks out, I look at him. Yeah, you can keep shaking your head, Brother Carl. I don't care. I'm embarrassing you. Think about this now. Think about verse 14. Think about Brother Carl. Think about verse 14. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Think about that for a minute. When you see Brother Carl walk in, what's he bringing with him? He's clothed in righteousness. Not his righteousness. He knows he's his filthy rags. He knows he's got nothing to offer. He knows that he's just a sinner saved by grace. But he takes that righteousness with him no matter where he goes. Where you go, do you talk about God or do you just talk? What do you wear when you go out? I'm not talking about your clothing. I'm talking about your robes of righteousness. I'm not talking about the righteousness that you have, the filthy rag righteousness. I'm talking about that righteousness that only God can give. When you go out, do you shine with the Lord Jesus Christ on you? Or do you go out and shine with the devil and his angels on you? What do you go out wearing when you go out? Do you wear a countenance that screams out that you're saved? Or do you wear a countenance that says, I want to be part of this old wicked world that I'm living in? When you go out, what do you want to portray to the world? I can't believe you're not leading anybody to Christ. Well, you look like you came out of the sewer. I was so embarrassed today. Good Lord, have mercy. I'm working with Bobby Shell. I'm helping him out on a project. I worked outside today. If you know me at all, I sweat immediately. I could peel an orange outside, and I'm profusely running down with sweat. I walk into Wendy's, and I am dressed to work, flooded with sweat. Thank God Johnny had the smartness in him to get out of his table and come see me instead of having me walk over to him where he had somebody sitting. Man, I was embarrassed. I understand I was working, but I would to God I'd have been dressed like a preacher. Oh, you say, well, Brother Dave, you shouldn't have that battle. You ought to dress all the time. Like, okay, well, look at yourself next time you go outside. Aren't you glad you came? What do you wear? I'm not talking about your clothing. What do you wear when you go outside? When Job walked the streets, they saw a Christian. And there was no doubt about it. I'm not talking about the rock and roll Christians of today. Is this Christian sending more people to hell on a freight train express. I had a discussion with a fellow one time that told me, well, can't God visit everybody in every circumstance? Yeah, he'll go and visit them, but he wants them to leave as soon as possible. Let me explain something to you. God's no part of that craziness. You can't make that right. God is not going to shake hands with the devil and his crowd to make good things come about. The devil, God doesn't need the devil's help to get people into church. Oh, devil. I think we ought to have a women's volleyball league where they wear the pants halfway up their thigh to make everybody more comfortable when they come to church. We want to make it a more family-oriented atmosphere. Hogwash! The Bible says showing your thighs nakedness. Aren't you glad you came? So if that's what happens, and God's not going to go up to the devil and say, hey, devil, thank you for helping me out tonight to have a good church service. No. The Lord will have a good church service among three. You don't need to have 80,000 in a crowd passing around Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets for the offering. Man, this is good stuff. Are you in a place where you wish it was as in months past? I just want you to think with me. I've been there lots of times. I've got to be honest with you. My personality is generally highs and lows. If you know me for a very long time, it's generally highs and lows. I'll be excited as all get out, sometimes low as all get out. And if you don't fit that, thank God for that. But there are times in my life when I recall what it used to feel like sometimes to come to church. When you walk in the door and you knew Pastor Skyver was the greatest preacher on the planet. Oh, now maybe he has messages that aren't quite as dynamic as Dr. Gray, or maybe he has not as many people as Dr. Hiles, or maybe he has a temper on him, or maybe he has this and that. But let me explain something to you. He's the greatest pastor in the world. Amen. And he's yours. Live with that. He's yours. And I'm your associate pastor. Like them apples. Hey, you voted me in. It was barely, but you voted me in. I decided to stay anyhow. I hate votes. Have you felt that way? Have you felt that way where you wish you could go back to? I'm not talking about a spooky film. I'm talking about knowing that Jesus Christ was there. Oh, I know there's some of you that Jesus Christ has never left. He's always with me. No matter where I go, I've got the Lord right with me. I'm not talking to you then. I'm talking to the people that every once in a while, man, God, where are you at? Job, oh, that I were, that it was as in months past when God was with me. There's four ways that you can get back to where that was. I don't believe it's very difficult, but it's the most difficult thing to do. Simple answer. Number one, don't blame God for where you're at. Don't blame God for where you're at. God didn't turn his back on Job. See, you got to understand something. I think the devil was trying to show God that there's no good human. Think about that for a minute. God said, look at Job. Devil said, I bet you I can get him to curse you. There's no good human. Do you know why he was saying it? Think about this with me. I'm just thinking logically. Why would the devil say that? Why would the devil desire Job to curse God? I wonder if he was trying to convince God not to send Christ. I'm just preaching now. I just like to think about things. I wonder if the devil was trying to convince God there's no good human down here. There's no good human. I've been walking to and fro in the earth, seeking whom I may devour, and I might say it ain't hard to catch them. I might say that I'm down in a wicked world right now that loves to turn their back on God. Does it sound like that's where we're at? I'm in a wicked world right now, God, and if it was up to me, I wouldn't send Jesus at all. I wouldn't send him. I wouldn't talk about saving this worthless generation. They're not worth nothing. Watch Job. And Job passed. Job says, no, I'm not going to curse God. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to curse God, charge him foolishly. I'm not going to do anything. Don't blame God for where you're at. Did you ever consider that maybe God was putting you through something because God wanted to put you through something? I wonder if we would use it as a workbench instead of a walk away point. I wonder if we look at our lives and say, man, this is tough right now. But God has a reason for it. Man, I would to God we'd live like that. I'm not sitting up here as a person that's telling you I've never had those thoughts. I'm telling you as a person, I have had those thoughts many times when I say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but understand this, I don't want to blame God for it. Praise him for it maybe, but don't blame him for it. Second thing, be there. What's that mean? When you come to church, what do you come for? Think about this now. Think about this. Do you come because you have to teach your Sunday school class? That's a terrible reason to come to church. Do you come because you have to ride that bus? That's a terrible reason to come to church. Do you come because it's your duty? That's a terrible reason to come to church. Do you come because you like to hear preacher say little faux pas? Is that why you come? Do you come because you love to hear the music? That's a terrible reason to come to church. Oh, I want you to come. Do you come because they're playing volleyball outside tonight? Do you come because of the things of church, or do you come because of the God of church? In the Bible, the Lord tells Moses to go to a mount apart and be there. Almost like he's telling him twice, Brother Carl. He was telling Moses, when you go, I want you to meet me there, and I want you to be ready for what's going to happen there. When's the last time you came to church ready? Most of you hold on to the chair when it comes invitation time. I don't care what song he sings. I'm not getting out of church. I'm not getting up out of this chair. It doesn't matter at all. Let me tell you something. Preacher preached a great message last Sunday. Okay. I don't know how in the world there was a chair that had a person in it. Oh, you might say, well, Brother Dave, you shouldn't talk about the altar call. The altar call is between the Christian and God. He doesn't have any business you talking about the altar call. If I'm going to be moved by God, bless God, it'll be God that moves me and not you. You idiot. Thank you. Let me explain something to you. There's only two reasons to go to the altar. One, because God's talking to you. The other one, because he didn't. Man, this is good preaching. See, what's amazing is this. We've gotten away from the old-time religion. I'm talking about personal. Where you come to the altar and you say, you know what, God? I'm not worth anything. You're right. I would that it was in months past when I served God for serving God. I would that it was in months past when I desired to be in church. I would that it was as God in times past when I sang the songs and loved it. I would to God that it was in times past when Mrs. Black played the songs that it moved my heart and stirred me to tears. I would that it was in months past when the preaching of God's word meant something to me. When you come to church, be here. Be here. Be here for church. Be here for church. Time for church. Third thing. Don't blame God. When God uses you, be there. Third thing, get busy for God. Well, the greatest thing that'll take you away from God is you stop serving him. The easiest way to get away from God is to stop serving him. First of all, some of you got to start serving him. Uh-oh. He touched on money. Now he's talking about service. God died for you. Jesus died for you. And you won't pick up litter? Boy, that's good stuff. God died for you. You won't clean the toilet? I'm above that, right? Associate pastor of this church, I cannot be required to plunge. Ask any teacher in the school, once a week, what do I have in my hand? A stinking plunger. Stinking's right. That was not a Freudian slip. That was straight up right. These kids have a fecal problem of putting out 2-liter pop bottles worth of waste, and they won't go down. It doesn't matter how much you stomp on it. What happens, though, is this. You decide I'm too tired to serve God. We're all tired. I wonder if Jesus was tired when he went up the hill with the cross on his back. I wonder if he was tired when the blood was flowing. I wonder if he was tired when the crown of thorns was put in his head. I wonder if he was tired when all the blood was leaving his body. I wonder if he was tired from staying up all night praying. I wonder if he was tired. Oh, we just can't be like Jesus. You're right, you can't. But God working through you, you can come awful close. See, we got to get to a point where we decide we're going to serve God no matter what. No matter what. Well, I don't like the preacher. Well, I don't care. You should serve God anyhow. Well, I don't like Brother Bevington. Well, I don't either. You deserve that. Been a long time. You should serve God anyhow. Well, I don't like how this other person got treated better than me. It's injustice. It happens. Get over it. Serve God. Amen. We spend so much time worrying about what other people get. We've come to a welfare society when we, if we don't get everything just fair and just, let me explain something to you. The life ain't fair. People get things. I don't know why Joel Osteen drives a 2010 Cadillac. I don't know. He's not a called man of God. I don't know. Independent Fundamental Baptist preachers drive a 1910 Cadillac. I don't understand it. But we serve God anyhow. Doesn't matter what's coming in your life. It's not an excuse for you to stop serving God. He died for you. Some of you got more talent in your little finger than any of the preachers that I've seen come through here. More talent in your little finger. But you won't raise that little finger for God. It's a Wednesday night crowd. I should probably save this for Sunday morning. Split this church wide open. Let me tell you something. A preacher talks about this being above average church. It is. What do you do for Christ, though? What do you do? Not so you can get your name on some paper and say you did something. I get sick and tired of that. Sick and tired of, well, he's so great and so wonderful. It's the God of him that's great and wonderful. Get busy for God. Fourth thing. My shirt's probably soaked. Don't blame God. Be there. Get busy for God. And to do all those things, this is the last one. I'm all done. Aren't you happy? Come out from this old world and be ye separate. You're not going to serve God in the world. I mean, if you're in the world, you won't shake hands with him. You won't do it. You won't do it. See, you got to understand something. I saw a great illustration one time. A clear, pure glass of water was up here. And one little tablespoon of sand was dumped in it. Guess what it did? Made the water dirty. You add the world to your life, it makes you dirty. You can say, well, I'm inviting all these worldly friends over to my house because I'm going to try to be a witness and a beacon of light to them in this old, cruel, and dark world. You ain't strong enough. You ain't strong enough. Because it won't be long, they'll have you watching movies you ought not watch. I'll preach that again. It won't be long, they'll have you watching movies you ought not watch. They'll be watching Sin to the Max, HBO. Oh, get mad at me all you want to, but you know it's right. You know it's right. You're not going to serve God watching HBO. You're not going to serve God watching Sin to the Max. You're not going to serve God watching the movies you ought not watch. You're not going to serve him. I'm preaching to me. When's the last time I witnessed to somebody in the middle of Rambo?
There you go.
Come on now. Hey, listen, if Christ comes back tomorrow, what are you going to be doing when he comes? You can't serve God and be in the world. Can't do it. We have to live here. I understand that. And you've got to be at jobs. I understand that. And you've got to live as part of this world. But you do not have to be in the world, if that makes any sense. You don't have to curse to make people feel better. You get around your friends, oh, I'm a Christian, I'll witness to him later. Jibbler, flicker, like, flugger, flugger, flugger. Bligger. I fit in now. Now that I got their confidence, I'll witness to him next. No, you won't. No, you won't. You didn't witness to him the first time. You're not going to witness to him the second. You didn't have a good testimony the first time. You think they're going to believe you the next time? Let's go ask Lot. Let's go ask Lot. I lived in that big city, Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't have one convert. I don't believe in lifestyle evangelism, but I believe you ought to have a lifestyle that evangelizes. You ought to have a lifestyle that means something to you. To you. I tell you, I don't understand it. I don't understand why we let our kids and we let ourselves go into the world. We let our kids go off into the world. We let ourselves go off into the world. Why? Because we want to be part of this old world? You're going to have a hard time in heaven. Ain't no world there. It's going to be eternal too. Good luck with that. God, where's the TV? You think there's going to be a TV in your mansion? Good Lord have mercy. Sylvester Stallone won't be there. Hey, we live in a world today, oh God, that I wore that it was in months past when I served God. Oh, I would that it was in months past when I tried to separate myself from this whole world. And it's not easy. Oh, I would that it was in months past when I came to church and I was there. Not just came here and put my head in my hands and went to sleep. Oh, I know it's easy. No matter who's preaching, people are sleeping. I would to God the rapture would happen right at that moment. It's so exciting. And then only after you've been awake for a while that God takes you up. Wouldn't that be great? And when you get there, you're in a group. Everybody that was sleeping in church is over in that room right there. You get to take care of the cattle. Oh, I were that it was in months past when my heart beat for people. Not just for their souls, but for their lives. I know people that care about people. Do you care about people? You're preaching to the choir, brother. Am I? When you see the little bus kid come in, what's the first thing you think? Glory to God. They're in church. Or do you think, don't get that dirt on that chair? Go wash your head. You probably got lice. I don't know. They may. But I've been in homes. I've been in homes, and I would that it was in months past, Brother Eddie, when I went to that little boy's home, and I saw pile of beer cans in one corner. I saw Daddy passed out in the other corner. I saw bugs of every kind running across the countertop. I saw flea-infested cats and dogs running up and down the steps, and the smell was something that just cannot be described. And they came running to the door for a bag of gifts that they were never going to get from anyone else. Oh, I would that it was in months past when I thought about that little bus kid and loved him. Oh, I would that it was in months past when I cared about the things of God. Job, sitting in an ash heap, said, oh, I were that it was in months past, not so I could be great again, because I want to show everybody how great you are. Right. Bethel, if you're in a spot right now and you think, I don't know where God is. I've been there. Oh, I would that it was in months past. Come out from among them. The people of this world want you to go down. The people of this world want you to suffer. The devil wants you to suffer. Jesus, he doesn't want you to suffer. He wants you to come out from among them and be separate. Oh, you may have suffering while you're working for him. What better time to suffer than working for God? Let's get after it, Bethel. Oh, I would that it was as in months past. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we love you tonight. I've got to believe that the preaching may not have been popular, but then again, you weren't popular either when you were here. Oh God, I want you to be with Bethel. We need you. I believe Bethel Baptist Church needs you now more than we've ever needed you in the past. God, let us plug back in. Let us rejoice. Let us get excited. Let us tell people about you. Let us realize, Lord, that we've got something bigger than ourselves dealing with here. We are dealing with eternity. We are dealing with lost ones. And we don't have time to sit out. Lord, help us. Help us to realize that we can have that joy. We can have that same love and care that we once had. Help us to get back in church and to realize that church is where we're gonna be. I would to God we'd make a determined decision tonight to be part of the service of God. Help us tonight. Help us tonight to wear your righteousness out, to where people can see it. They can see that we're Christians. I would be ashamed to think how many people are not even known as Christians in their workplace. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to realize that we have a wonderful future that's coming. But until we get there, we've got a job to do, and we're the only ones that can do it. Lord, please help us tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say with an uplifted hand, Brother Dave, secretly in my heart, I've wished that it was as in months past. I wish that I would have that same joy again. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? Put them up, put them up. You may put them down. I would to God that we'd realize that there's a Savior that loves you. What's frightening is, I hope that you've had that joy once. I've hoped that you've sampled of the joy of Jesus Christ just once. I've hoped that you've got excited about Jesus Christ just once. I hope there's been a time when you've desired to seek His face, when you've desired to get close to Him. If you've never desired to get close to the one that loves you and died for you, I would to God you'd come to the altar and get that right tonight. It's Wednesday night, but this altar's open. I pray to God we make good use of it tonight. Dear Jesus, again, be with us. Lord, if there's one in here that doesn't know you, Savior, I look out at the crowd and I believe everybody in here is a professing Christian. But Lord, it's time that we don't only profess to be Christians, we possess Christianity and realize who we truly are. Lord, help us tonight in a very special way. Guide and direct through the invitation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.